morning. Joshua chapter number 24 in our Bibles this morning. And notice there in verse number 15, the Bible says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Father, I pray this morning that you would use your word in our hearts and in our lives. Father, I pray that we all would leave today being able to say with Joshua, "We will serve the Lord." Help us, we pray. Give us ears to hear. Father, I pray that we would set aside the distractions and the cares of the day. And Father, I pray that we would tune into you. I need your help as I preach today, Father. Would you fill me? God, I pray and I plead with you to just move as only you can. Lord, I believe there might be some right now that are on the brink of which way they're going to go. I pray that they would make the choice to serve the Lord. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Yesterday, my wife got a package in the mail from a friend of hers down in Birmingham, a fellow preacher, a preacher's wife, and she opened it up, and it was a little dish towel that was monogrammed. And of course, you know, it had the big monogram. My wife loves monograms and different things like that. But underneath the monogram, it had this verse: "We will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, as I've been knocking on doors and as I've been inviting folks to church, one thing I have found that has been common here in the South, here in Huntsville, is you'll knock on a door and there's that Bible verse at that door. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, it's a statement that is a common statement. It's a verse that is, beside John 3:16, is probably the second most well-known verse in the country. A very famous verse for a family. And yet the reality is, unfortunately, as I think about where we are at as a nation and where our families are at as a whole, sadly, that is not true in most homes. Or we talk it, we make the statement, but we're not truly seeking the Lord. We're not truly following Him. Last week we dealt with verse number 14, where really it was that unique statement. He said at the beginning of verse 15, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord." Then we dove into that and we talked about how it's not evil to serve God. Hey, we live in a day and time where righteousness is not exalted, but instead, if you're righteous and you're holy and you're a believer, you're laughed at and you're scorned upon, and the society as a whole is moving away from God. But it's not evil to serve the Lord. And we talked about why Joshua made that statement. Because in verse 14, there were those that did not fear the Savior. There were those that were faking their service, and there was those that were focused upon their sin. And if that's where you are at as a believer, then serving the Lord is going to be foreign to you. And you're not going to want to follow God. Why? Because you're focused upon your own selfish desires instead of being focused upon the Savior. But as we come again into this passage, remember, here's ancient Joshua, 110 years old, giving his final farewell address to the people. And he makes a statement. He said, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve." Let me say this morning, child of God, that we have a decision to make. You and I have a choice to make. You will leave this morning either having decided to serve God, or you'll leave this morning having decided to live for your sin. You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't want to make a decision. I don't want to choose." If you don't make the choice to serve God, if you don't make the choice to follow God, then understand, friend, you are making the choice to live for yourself. You are making the choice to live contrary to the Word of God. You've got a choice to make. I wonder this morning, what choice will you make? I think about this past week on Wednesday night, we had our kids' club, and that was awesome. Kids, I loved it, and I loved it because I can be a kid again. I just don't get to play the games and run around because I'm afraid I'd knock you over. But you know, I think about the big old treasure box that we have. And boy, it is loaded with candy. I like candy. In fact, I went back to last night. I got done, I don't know, about 9 o'clock over here at the church. And I come over, on Saturday nights, come over about 6 and just get ready and to get my heart tuned in. And I was in my office printing stuff off. And I told my wife, I said, "It is a bad thing that there's candy in pastor's office. There's no more hot tamales at all in the office anymore. I want you to know that, kids. That's off the table, all right?" You say, "Why, Pastor?" Because somebody, a mouse ate it, I think, you know? But I love the, I ate it, all right, confession. You pray for me, all right? But I think about the kids. Man, we're all gathered there, and everybody's getting a piece of candy. Right? I'm talking about there's Airheads. Oh, is there Airheads? No, no, Airheads. There's, you know, there's Sour Patch Kids. There's, you know, there's those runs that you used to get for 25 cents at, you know, turn those runs. There's Mike and Ike's. There's Twizzlers. There's cool candy, you know, Swedish Fish. And I mean, this is just pounded with it. I'm talking about all over the place, right? And I love watching the kids. I'm like, all right, you get a piece of candy, right? Because they said a verse, and they're like digging through there. And the choice is, hey, do I get Skittles or do I get Sour Patches? Is it Swedish Fish or is it Runts? And I'm looking at the kids, and I know you're all spiritual, and you're like, okay, that's cool. But I'm like, hey, I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, hurry up. It's been 2 minutes trying to decide, you know. Make up your mind, Swedish Fish or Runts. And I believe that's the message Joshua had for the people. He said, listen, folks, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long, as Elijah said, how long are you going to go back and forth? If God's God, serve him. If Baal's God, serve him. But stop picking up the Swedish Fish and then putting it down and picking up the Smarties. He said, make up your mind, who are you going to choose? And so I wonder this morning, Christian, what are you going to choose? What decision are you going to make? You're here this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. If you don't know Christ as your Savior today, you need to put your faith and trust in Christ. It's not next week, next month, next year when you get around to it. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. The Bible says, boast not thyself for tomorrow, for no man knoweth what a day may bring forth. You may just, you know, sin away that day of grace where the Holy Spirit's drawing you and you say no, no, no. God may say fine and let you go your own way. You better get saved today. But believer, you've got to make up your mind. I'm choosing the Skittles instead of choosing the Sour Patches. God desires for you to make up your mind. Every time we come to the Bible, we have a decision to make. Either I'm going the way of God, I'm going the way of myself and my sin. He made the statement, choose you this day. Notice here, first of all, the choice that must be made. He says in verse 15, choose you this day. Notice it didn't say choose for your kids. Notice he didn't say choose for your spouse. He didn't say choose for your church. He said choose for yourself. You. Can I remind you today, friend, that you're the only one that can make the choice? I wish that I could make everybody walk with God. I wish we could all be lemmings and just walk with God. You know, lemmings, I remember when I was a little kid, we had a game called Lemmings on the computer. And those lemmings, man, there was no purpose. But lemmings, man, if everybody's jumping off the cliff, they'll jump off the cliff. They don't think, right? They just do what everybody else is doing. I wish we could have Christian robots. I wish we all would love Jesus. I wish that when you put your faith and trust in Christ, man, you just became this super-duper Christian. But you know, that's not the reality. You've got to make the choice. God gives you that free choice. He gives you that own will. You get to make up your mind what you're going to do with the message. And Joshua made the statement, choose you this day. Young people, that means you've got to decide. You can't live on your parents' back about history with walking with God. I think about Miss Mabel, her walk with God. Hey, you can't live off your mama's walk with God. You've got to own it for yourself. You can't live off a preacher before or a parent before. You've got to own it yourself. He said, choose you, notice, this day. He didn't say delay it. He said, make up your mind now. It's a choice that must be made. But notice, we see not only the choice, but notice the commitment of a leader. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And he reminds him of what other leaders have done. He says, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. All right, who are the gods on the other side of the flood? Well, remember that the flood here is not the worldwide flood. We think about, oh, the big flood with Noah. That's not the same flood. The flood was, remember when Israel was getting ready to cross the Jordan River? The river flooded its banks. That was the flood season for the Israelites. That was the flood season for the Jordan River. And so what was Joshua saying? He says, hey, you remember when you were in the wilderness? All the ites that you battled against? Remember all their gods? Remember the gods of Egypt? Remember the gods before you crossed over that flood? He says, hey, some of you are living and serving those gods right now. He said, some of you right now are serving the gods of the Amorites in the land that you're dwelling. He said, you've got to make up your mind. Are you going to pursue those dead gods? Or are you going to pursue a living and alive God? Are you going to pursue a God that cannot answer prayer?
Are you going to pursue a God that answers and delights in hearing the prayers of His people? Are you going to disobey the God that created you to serve a God that has no life? You've got to make the decision. And the previous generation, what do? They walked away from God. Maybe the illustration would have been when Moses was on the mount, receiving the commandment of God. Remember, Aaron built that. He built that golden calf. And boy, what did the Israelites do? Many of them bowed down. They worshiped that golden calf. And they partied around that. Hey, they served the former gods on the other side of the river. Joshua said, that's what the previous generation has done. By the way, just because the previous generation may have messed up, just because your parents may have had a messed up life, and boy, there may be scars and sin in the past, doesn't mean you have to make the decision to live like they did. Just because somebody else did something wrong, doesn't mean you have to continue down that footpath. One of my best friends, Matt Green, his dad was a mess. And dad and mom divorced, his dad was a mess. Matt said at early age, he said, I'm not going to get divorced. I'm not going to follow the footsteps of my dad. He made the choice to walk with God. He made the choice to serve God and seek God. You've got to make the decision to walk with Almighty God. Hey, can I ask you this morning, are you blaming the previous generation for why you're not serving God? You know, we do that sometimes. Well, my mom, my dad scarred me. This person did this to me. That person did that. Joshua said, listen, put the excuses aside. That was it. Maybe it was the previous generation. But we're standing here. You've got a choice to make. We see the choice that was demanded. We see the choice of others in days gone by. But I love what Joshua says in verse number 15 again. He says at the end of the verse, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I see the choice of Joshua for his family. Who was he concerned about? I have this down in the commitment of a leader. I have three. I see, first of all, the people he influenced. It was his own kids. He was focused on his family. Dad, we need to be focused on our family. Our family's going to serve God. Our family's going to walk with God. I think about it, as I look out of this room, we've got some widows, and some of you widows just keep on plugged away. You're making you're the leader in your family. Keep on serving God. Some of you, you've got a split family, and boy, maybe the husband is doing his own thing. Hey, keep on leading the family in the house of God. Men, let me encourage you to be the leaders and to make the decision for the family. Work and serve God. Joshua didn't say we're going to ask the public school system. He didn't say we're going to ask the in-laws. He didn't say we're going to take a survey of the community and find out what we ought to do. He didn't say we're going to follow Netflix and Hulu and let them raise our kids for God. No, he said, as for me and my house, this is what we're doing. It was a decision made by grandpa. It was a decision made by a dad. It was a decision to go forward for God. We need to make the decision for our family to serve God. Let me say this. Joshua was concerned for the people, but he was more concerned for his family. The most important ministry I will ever have is for my family. Church, I love you, and I want you to know we pray for you every day, but you know the priority for me is my family. And boy, I've got to make sure our family's serving God. I've got to make sure that we're in church. I've got to make sure that their hearts are tuned into God. I have a pastor friend of mine in New Hampshire that resigned his church because his daughter walked away from God. And he felt like, you know what, if I can't lead my family for God, then I need to step back. And he stepped back for a little while and reevaluated things. I need to make sure my family is tuned into God. Joshua was concerned for his family. The Bible teaches that we need to know the state of our flock. We need to know our family. Dad, I wonder, do you know how your kids are doing spiritually? Joshua said, our family's serving God. Joshua was tuned into his grandkids. He was tuned into those kids. He was concerned about their spiritual future. I wonder, are you concerned? I think about grandpas. Man, some of my greatest memories are of spiritual growth in my life have been because of grandparents. I remember when I was struggling with school, I may have told the story before, but I was on my way home to New Hampshire, stopped in to visit Grandma and Grandpa Schwanke in Connecticut. Grandpa was probably 80 at the time, struggling with his lungs, hard time breathing, and laying in bed. He found out I was there. And I remember he got out of bed and hobbled into the kitchen. I'm sitting there eating Grandma's sandwich, right? And Grandpa just starts preaching at me. Steve, make up your mind who you're going to serve. Hey, don't go the way of the world. Don't live for the things that are temporal. Live for God. Love God. Serve God. I think about the godly influences of a godly grandparent. Then you can make that impact. But dad and mom, we ought to know where we're at when it comes to our kids walking with God. I think about Eli, the priest. Eli had great responsibilities, but Eli lost his own kids. His own kids were being immoral. His own kids were stealing from the offering of God.
And Eli was did not have that impact. Why? Because Eli allowed his sons to rule the roost instead of letting God rule the roost. I think about Samuel, a mighty prophet in Israel, lost his own sons. His sons did not walk in the footsteps of their daddy. I think about Billy Sunday, one of the greatest evangelists America has seen. And Billy Sunday would preach to thousands. And people would get right with God. Barns would shut down in cities. Yet Billy Sunday would preach against the Bible, and yet his own kids were drinking alcohol, addicted to that stuff. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we need to be focused on raising our kids, making sure our kids are serving God. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So we see, number one, the people who Joshua was focused on. But notice his plan. In verse number 15 at the end, it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The statement I see here was a statement of surrender. Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. But notice what the people said in verse 16. It says, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, in which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Notice in the plan, there was a statement of surrender. What did the people say? The people said, we're going to serve God. We're going to sell out for God. You say, preacher, why should I serve God? Why would Joshua say, I'm going to serve God? Why would the people say, we're going to serve God? Why should I serve the Lord? I think about, number one, we need to serve the Lord because of all that he's done for us. Think about that, friend. We love him because he first loved us. When I was unlovable, when I was stuck in the miry pit of sin, there was nothing beautiful about Stephen Schwenke. Jesus Christ, in his love and his mercy and grace, was willing to reach down and with those tender, loving, compassionate arms on the cross of Calvary cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus was willing to forgive me. I'd be willing to walk with him. We love him because he first loved. You say, Pastor, why do you serve God? I serve God because I owe a debt I could not pay. Jesus Christ was willing to pay for my sin. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You have to serve the Lord because of what he's done for you. So many Christians have forgotten the cross. They've forgotten their salvation story. The story of the cross has become mundane. Oh, it's something we remember Easter. It's something we remember when we take communion. But the cross has lost that effect. The preaching of the cross is in that perished foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of the cross. And listen, the cross is what made the difference in my life. The cross rescued me from hell. The cross gave me hope, gave me joy, gave me fulfillment. Hey, don't lose sight of the cross where Jesus was willing to be beaten and bruised and spat upon. Hey, don't lose focus of the crown of thorns that were placed upon his brow. Hey, don't forget the whip of the cat of nine tails that ripped apart the Savior's body. Hey, don't forget the soldiers as they beat him with sticks. Don't forget as they mocked him. Don't forget as they put the nails into his hands and into his feet. Hey, don't forget the spear that was shoved up the Savior's side. Don't forget the cross. You say, why are you going to serve God? Because of all that he's done for me. Why should we serve him? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Paul said this. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Paul said in Philippians, he said, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious. But I obtained mercy of the Lord. Paul said, this is what I was. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ transformed my life. Why should we serve God? Because of what he's done for you. Number two, you ought to serve God because of those that have come before you. Joshua could look back and say to those people, you ought to follow me even as I follow Christ. We ought to be able to be the leaders in our family and set the course. I think about the reality is I ought to serve the Lord because of a dad and mom that walk with God. I ought to serve the Lord because of godly grandparents. I ought to serve the Lord because of a godly preacher. It's Pastor Cole, Pastor Tad Marshall, Pastor Skelly, Pastor Klaus, Pastor Steve Neal. I ought to serve God because of those men. I ought to serve God because of the people that have influenced me in my walk with God, like a Lee Bowman and a Matt Green and Dan Principe and different men like Russell Jones that have challenged me to walk with God in an innate gift. You say, why are you serving God, preacher? Because of those that have influenced me that have run the race before me. We ought to serve God. God. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Why should we serve God? Why did Joshua make the statement, we're going to serve God because of what God's done for him, because of those that have come before? But I think about that reality, I serve God because I'm scared not to. The Bible says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Let me say this morning, I'm scared not to serve God. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? I'm scared not to serve God. You know why? I just know God, he deals with me as a father deals with a son. When my kids step out of line, man, I know that chastening. I don't want to experience the chastening hand of God. I see it all over the place. Guys I went to college with, preachers that have walked away from God, family members that have walked away from God. And you see the consequences of sin. Let me say, sin is not appealing. It may be appealing for a little bit, but boy, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The end result of sin is destruction and doom. And sin does not offer anything that's of lasting joy. No, sin will leave you broken. It will leave you hurting. It'll leave you desperate and just full of despair. Hey, why am I serving God today? Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want to stand before Christ ashamed. So we see, number one, the people. He was focused on the plan. There was a statement of surrender. He said in verse number 23, he said, all right, if you really want to serve God, he said in verse, or look in verse 19, Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sin. He says in verse number 23, all right, now therefore, if you really are serious about the commitment you're making, he said, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord your God. There was a statement of surrender that must be made if we're going to serve God. There must be a separation from sin. He said in verse 23, put away, put away. I wonder this morning, are you putting off and putting on? The Christian life is a mix of you're put off the old man and you're putting on the new man. Your replacement theology. Hey, you get rid of this and you replace it with this. I wonder, are you drawing nigh to God as he draws nigh to you? Are you cleansing your hands, you sinners, and purifying your hearts, you double-minded? Sanctification is a twofold process. It's to put off the old man and to put on the new. If I put this down, in order to have victory, you must replace the bad with something godly. Wrong music needs to be replaced with the right kind of music. Wrong friends need to be replaced with right friends. Wrong places need to be replaced with right places, like the church house. The wrong shows, wrong television programs need to be replaced with godly things. If you don't replace with something godly, you will most likely go back to that sin. Joshua said, listen, you're serious about serving God? There's got to be the statement of surrender. There's got to be a separation from sin. But notice he says in verse 23, he says, put away the, therefore, said, now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. And notice, incline your heart unto the Lord your God. Unto the Lord God of Israel. You know, think about that word incline. That's an upward growth. Incline. To grow. To go closer. I think about when I was growing up, I grew up in New Hampshire. And by the way, Alabama really doesn't have mountains. No offense. I know there's some pretty places here. And even like Gatlinburg, Tennessee, that's not really mountains, all right? That's more like hills. New Hampshire, I mean, really has some mountains. And then if you want really want mountains, go to Colorado. And go to Idaho and go to, you know, out places like that. That's where the real mountains are at. But I grew up in New Hampshire. I lived on Captain Clark Highway. And Captain Clark on 378 was on top of the hill, Abbott Hill. And Captain Clark Highway was probably 5 miles from where our house was at to the main road. And it was fun going down Captain Clark because it was one big hill. In fact, I've taken a 15-passenger van. I don't recommend this. And I've taken it, and I've started at neutral at the top of it. And I've had to put the brakes on because I was going out of control, all right? You say, how fast were you going? Well, the speed limit was 35. I was probably going a little over 36. Just broken barely, all right? But I'm talking about steep hill, and that's not the way to drive, all right? Drive safely, speed limit. That's what we're for. That was before I was surrendered, all right, and before 50 speeding tickets, but not really. But, I think about the hill. Man, down the hill, it was awesome, right? It's easy to go downhill, right? But there, I had a mountain bike,
And there was a couple times that we decided we were going to ride up Captain Clark Road. And the hill was about, from where our house was at to the bottom, like I said, 5 miles. There was probably a 3 mile hill where it was a really good upward climb. And can I say, as I started to ride that mountain, ride that bike, man, my legs would burn. Any of you bikers here, you know how it is. You ride up a mountain, and boy, you know, you start fresh. You're like, man, this is easy, right? For 50 feet. And then you start huffing and puffing. And then you're like, I need oxygen. And then you're like, I need a Mountain Dew. Forget Gatorade. You know, I need something to help me keep going. And then you start weaving back and forth to help with the upward climb. Hey, that's the reality. When you are going up, when you're inclining your heart to God, you know what? You're growing. You're making progress. I wonder, are you inclining your heart to the Lord? Hey, you can separate, but if you're not walking with God, if you're not growing in God, then there's going to be a problem. So we see number one, if you want to make the choice to serve God, there's got to be a statement of surrender. Number two, there's got to be a separation from sin. And then look in verse number 25. It says, so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Notice thirdly and lastly, there was a statue of service. It says he set the covenant, he made the covenant, and he set a statue and an ordinance in Shechem. What was big about Shechem? Shechem was a place where God appeared to Abraham. Remember, this place where Abraham really built that altar where he got along with God. Shechem was a very important spiritual place for the Israelites. It was a memorial. It was a place where, hey, this is a decision I made. This is what God did, Abraham would say. And years later, Isaac would visit it. Jacob would visit. Joseph would visit. The family would visit. When they came out of Egypt, they visited Shechem. It was a memorial to remember and reflect on what God had done in the nation of Israel. You say, Pastor, I want to serve God. What's going to keep me serving God? I'll tell you what's going to keep you serving God is those memorials. Building the memorial. I wonder, have you built a memorial in your life? Have you built that place, that statue, that place of remembrance? Joshua said, hey, we've got Abraham's decision here. But he said, I'm building another one to remind you of the decision you're making. I'm reminding you, can't piggyback off what your parents did. You've got to make the decision yourself. And he built that statue as a reminder of what they had committed to do with their life. Have you made that monument in your life? Have you made the decision? Can you revisit it? I'll tell you what, we ought to revisit it all the time. All the time in our hearts and our minds, we ought to revisit. Revisit when you got saved. Revisit the day when you surrendered all to Jesus. Revisit the day when you gave up this certain thing. There ought to be memorials in your life. In closing, I remember when I was in Bible college, I was really, really, really struggling my junior year. And really struggling, demerits like crazy. Really was at a place where I just wanted to quit. Didn't want to serve God, really. Just wanted to go back, make money working for my dad. And yet I would sit in chapel. I'm talking about, man, we had some wonderful preachers come through that year. And I got my Bible from those chapel days in my office. And I remember I would sit in the auditorium and boy, I'd be like, I'd come ready to quit. God, I just want to quit. I want to go home, make money. I don't want to preach. I'm just done, God. I don't want to keep on going for you. I know you're all spiritual. You're all, that's not where you're at, all right? I know. But I was struggling. And I remember a preacher would get up and he'd preach. And he'd preach about be faithful. Don't quit. Keep on going for God. Why just be so broken? The invitation would be given. And I'd be sitting toward the back. And boy, just really, really, really discouraged. I'd be like, God, I don't want to quit. I want to serve you. I don't want to throw my life away. I want to yield to you. And I would make myself a little memorial there in that auditorium. Sometimes it'd be at an altar. Sometimes it'd be in the pew. But I'd say, God, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to go for you. And you look at my Bible. I've got, you know, school started August 23rd or whatever. Like August 24th, I wrote down, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to serve God. I signed my name to it. But I'd go another day or two, and again, I'd be in the depths of despair. I want to quit. Want to go home. Another preacher would come up, preach a wonderful message. Don't quit. Keep on going for God. I pull up that Bible, right, you know, October the 31st, made the decision. I'm not going to quit. You go through my Bible of that one semester, and there's like 15 times when I said, God, I don't want to quit. I'm going to keep on going. What did I do to make it through that dark time of life, that time of struggle? I built some memorials. I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting. And though I feel like quitting and going back, I'm going to keep on doing what God's called me to do. Joshua said to the people, he said, listen, you want to serve God? You've got to make the choice. You've got to surrender. You want to serve God? You've got to separate from sin. But if you're truly going to continue to serve God, just not for the high right now of being around an old saint of God that's getting ready to pass off the scene, but if you want lasting decisions that carry on, he says you've got to build an altar in Shechem. You've got to build that memorial. Why? So years later you can reflect on that and remember that's where God transformed my life. Hey, can I ask you this morning, friend? Where are you at in your decisions for God? Are you thinking about quitting? Don't quit. Build an altar. You're thinking, well, I want to live for the world? Don't. Serve the Lord. You're thinking, well, you know, I just want to keep on doing it. No, separate from sin and serve God. The choice is yours. And Joshua said to the people, make up your mind. What decision are you going to make? I believe some of you this morning may need to build some altars, some places, some memorials there in Shechem and say, God, I'm going to keep on going for you. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And I pray now that you'd work in this invitation. I pray that you would give us a time of response. Father, help us to build those altars. Lord, help us to make those decisions for you. Would you move and work in just a real and a special way this morning? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. As Miss Danielle's going to come and just play a hymn of invitation. But I wonder this morning how many would say, Pastor Schwanke, this morning, God spoke to my heart. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. But man, maybe I'm not surrendered. Maybe I'm not yielded to God. Maybe there's sin that I'm struggling with, and I'm not separated from that. Maybe I've not built that altar there in Shechem, but this morning God spoke to my heart, and man, I need to make a decision based upon the message that's been preached. Would you pray for me, preacher? God spoke to my heart. If that's you, would you slip your hand up all over the room? Good. Man, number of hands. Good. Praise God. Number of hands. Good. Need to build that altar. Good. See that hand? Good. Anybody else? Pastor, God spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand. I wonder, lastly, would there be one that would say, Pastor, I don't know Christ as my Savior. I know the Bible says today is the day of salvation. I've never been saved. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? I want to get that settled this morning. Here's my hand. Not sure I'm saved. I won't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. Pastor, pray for me. Not sure I'm going to heaven. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Anybody at all, won't embarrass you. Preacher, I need to be saved. Pray for me. Here's my hand. Well, Father, would you work in this invitation? Be with your people. Help us, Lord, to obey and yield to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed as Miss Danielle continues to play. God's touched your heart. The altar is open. Christian, God's touched your heart. Maybe you need to come and build an altar in your spiritual life here at Shechem. Maybe there in your pew. God's touched your heart. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Let's do business with God this morning as the pianist plays. How about it today? Would you do that? Making that decision. Separating from sin, surrendering to the Savior, building that altar there in Shechem of surrender. Trust and obey, Christian. The Christian life is easy if we just surrender. Father, sure do thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for speaking to our hearts and to our lives. Thank you for the decisions that have been made here. And Father, I pray maybe if somebody felt like quitting today, maybe giving up, maybe struggling with things in their life, Lord, help them to maybe write down in their file of the Bible, I'm not quitting, I made this decision. And Lord, may we keep these decisions. Help us, Lord Jesus, to keep our eyes upon you and to keep pressing on for Christ. Thank you so much for all that you've done. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the visitors that you brought us today. And Lord, we're encouraged by what you're doing here. So continue to do what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.